96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. Your questions or comments, toll free at 855-288-4876. Now, Insight.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM, Channel 141. This is the Insight segment. I'm Harold Fisher. Another busy week in politics with President Donald Trump continuing to upset the apple cart with tweets and executive orders. Also on Capitol Hill, the fight over cabinet picks continues to heat up. Well, joining me to talk about this are Simone Sanders, CNN political commentator, and former Bernie Sanders press secretary. We also have Renard Jackson, Republican political analyst, and we have you. Give us a call if you have a question or comment, 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Also, follow me on Twitter at HFisher, WHUR, or Daily Drum, WHUR. All right, Renard, good to see you again.
Thank you.
Simone, thanks for coming on to the program.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
Absolutely. Let us start off with Black history at the White House today. The president had a listening session, and among the many other things that he discussed, we heard this.
I was recently contacted by some of the top gang thugs in Chicago for a sit down. They reached out to me because they associated me with you. They respect you. They believe in what you're doing. And they want to have a sit down about lowering that body count. So in a couple of weeks, I'm going in to Chicago.
I think it's a great idea because Chicago is totally out of control.
Well, I let them know. I said, we got to lower that body count. We don't want to talk about anything else. Get that body count down. And they agreed that the principals, they can do it. These are guys straight from the streets. No politicians. Straight street guys. But they're going to commit that if they lower that body count, we'll come in and we'll do some social programs.
That was Pastor Darrell Scott of the New Spirit Revival Center in Cleveland, Ohio. We've seen him before. He was a surrogate for the Trump campaign during the presidential campaign. I found his comments interesting. I will let Simone talk about that first. And this is why, Simone, I find these comments interesting, that he says that these gang members reached out to him and they promised to lower the body count because they respect the president. And I guess the first thing that came to mind is, why now?
Well, you know what? I'd like to take everything Pastor Darrell Scott said with a grain of salt here. My problem is this. Donald Trump and members of his Trump diversity team, such as Pastor Scott and others, have repeatedly characterized associated Black and brown communities essentially with the violence in Chicago, as if all Black people live in Chicago. Well, I'm from Omaha, Nebraska, and there are Black people all over this country. So that's my real issue with Donald Trump and his Republican friends that sat at that table today. It was not a Black History Month honoring ceremony. It was not a listening session. This was Donald Trump, all of his supporters, and a lot of campaign staff, actually, and current White House and RNC staff sitting at the table having the kind of conversations I guess they have all the time when Donald Trump wants to talk about Black people. I was thoroughly underwhelmed, unimpressed, and actually offended.
Renard, what's up with the optics here? Because these are the same kinds of issues that the Trump campaign had, and now we have a President Trump. And it seems like he still only knows or is only interested in talking to the same Black people.
Well, thank you, Harold, for having me on. And before I get into that, I just want to say I think Simone Sanders is one of the top political minds out here on the scene.
Thank you.
Even though I'm Republican, this girl is bad. So I just wanted to get that in.
She absolutely is. And you should also take that with a grain of salt. Do not raise your high blood pressure. So let's go back to the question at hand.
No, I'm sort of like Simone on this. And I get what Trump and these folks are trying to accomplish, but Trump has not said one word about Black entrepreneurship. That's the solution to Chicago, not social program. And Trump constantly, and again, I understand what, here's a classic case of the Republican Party trying to do the right thing, but doing it the wrong way. And so I think Trump, in my view, should entertain and interact more with Black entrepreneurs first. But him going to Chicago to talk about what government program they can create to stop the body count. So this is a negotiation. If you come out here, President Trump, we're going to stop killing people. If they didn't do it for Obama, I doubt seriously if they're going to do that for
Trump.
And
I didn't hear Donald Trump himself promise he was going to Chicago today. Look, we saw this on the campaign trail where Donald Trump gave entire speeches essentially about black people in the African-American community, but there were no black people in the room. He went 25 minutes outside of Milwaukee to avoid the black people in Milwaukee and not talk to them. So I don't think he's going to Chicago to speak to them. I think this was a PR stunt today, and that's unfortunate. You know, there were people in that room today that I know personally that I respect, not Pastor Darryl Scott. Let me just go on the record. But there were some other folks in there that really do care about opening up and broadening the conversation in the Republican Party, and that's not breaking through under a President Trump.
I said, but if that is the case, do they really have his ear, or are they just wallpaper?
Well, you know what? I guess we're going to have to ask the people that work up in the building. What all we can go off is what we've seen from Mr. Trump and his campaign and now his administration. And it has been very sensational, stereotypical, top-level engagement. Look, today is the first day of Black History Month, not African-American History Month that I have seen out there in the streets and on the cable television networks. It would have been great if the Trump administration was announcing that they were having a meeting with the Congressional Black Caucus, and they want to start building some relationships and talk across the aisle. It would have been great if they would announce President Trump or Omarosa and some other folks were going to the Dorothy Height stamp ceremony to honor the amazing and fabulous Dr. Dorothy Height. They didn't do any of that. What did they do? They paraded 10 random black people into the White House, brought the cameras in, and then let Donald Trump go around the table and point to each of them and have them say how much they liked and cared for Donald Trump. Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous.
Right, hold on. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. I'm Harold Fisher. We're at the political roundtable talking about the Trump administration, Black History Month, and of course, we're going to get into some of these Capitol Hill confirmation issues. If you have a question or a comment, give us a call. Again, 202-319-7810. Go ahead, Raynard, real quick.
Yeah, the only area I would disagree with you, Simone, I thought for sure someone high up would go to the Dorothy Height, the post office thing. That would just made all the common sense in the world. But meeting with the Black Caucus, there's no value.
Why not the Black Caucus?
Because they bring no value to the table because their policies have not a snowball's chance in hell of ever getting implemented into law.
Donald Trump campaigned, and he said he wanted to bring folks together at the end. Bring people together.
He should meet with Black Republicans first.
Across the aisle. Well, you know what?
First.
How deep is your outreach?
Yeah, and suffice it to say, you know, again, we saw no elected officials in this meeting today, and there aren't a lot of Black Republicans on the Hill, obviously, but certainly one, you know, the one or two or three or however many there, you know, there may be. It would be good, exactly, to have them come in and at least, you know,
they because have to they, be invited.
They have a, because, well, that's my point.
Yeah.
And so why aren't they? And let us say he was supposed to meet with John Lewis. There was a delay or some kind of scheduling conflict. There was supposed to be a meeting with Elijah Cummings, a scheduling conflict, you know, two of the most powerful, you know, Black lawmakers on the Hill. So can we just say that he's not going to meet with Black lawmakers? I mean, is that what we should expect?
Well, I don't see any value in meeting with them at the Congressional Black Caucus. And I think it's foolish to even meet with John Lewis in light of the controversy because it's all theatrics on both sides. So I'm more concerned about the substance of the matter.
It's theatrics on Donald Trump's side. Look, the fact of the matter is the Congressional Black Caucus is the largest congressional caucus on the Hill. And any lawmaker, Democrat or Republican, any president, it is incumbent upon them to come to the Black Caucus. Look, when Israel and America were having their issues, and Bibi Netanyahu came and gave the speech in front of the joint session of Congress. Following the blowout of that, his ambassador, Ambassador Derma, went not to, you know, the Paul Ryans of the world. He went around and he met with almost every single member of the Congressional Black Caucus. Why? Because they were that important. So if Ambassador Derma and Bibi Netanyahu can make time for the Congressional Black Caucus, I would hope Donald Trump.
Why would you want to meet with someone that you've called a racist and the reincarnation of Hitler? Basically, I'm the CBC. They've called Donald Trump everything other than the child of God. Why would you want to meet
with
him?
You know what? They talked about Jesus. Donald Trump needs to grow thicker
skin. It took 2 years for Obama to meet with the Black Caucus, too. 2 years.
Obama is a former member of the Congressional Black Caucus.
2 years to meet with him as president.
Let me go to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. They talked about Jesus. 202-319-7810. Ron, help me out here from D.C. What's on your mind?
Hey, how you doing? First of all, sister, I want to give you credit, too. First of all, good evening to everybody. Sister, I do like you, because I follow you a couple of times, so I know you're very thorough. But, brother, I'm agreeing with him. Man, sister, the Congressional Black Caucus has done nothing to help nobody. And if you really pull up the history on it, they haven't. So I don't blame Donald Trump, and I want to beat him either. Now, that's just the first thing. The second thing, and then I'll just take this offline, Mr. Fisher. How many boys like the band? And I know everybody's, like, really tripping on this band. But can anybody actually say they know any ICE agents personally? Because I do. I know quite a bit of them. And they actually said themselves personally that they're very happy the ban's taking place. They said because if you really knew what was coming across them borders or what was coming through these airports, that if people really knew, half of us wouldn't even have the freedom that we have now. And I said, well, wow, are you serious? They'd be like, dude, I guarantee half the people that disagreeing with the ban, I guarantee they don't know that one ICE agent person that they can sit down and have a cup of coffee with at Starbucks.
Okay.
So it just kind of bothers me. But I do agree with the brother with the Congressional Black Caucus. I even stopped donating to the NAACP.
Oh, come on now, brother.
I had to, baby girl, I had to, because they don't stand for what we ask, case in point. What Malcolm X, what Martin, they don't stand for stuff like that.
Ron, let me say this, you know, because, you know, one of the things about, you know, donating to, you know, the NAACP, Urban League and what have you, and certainly those organizations can certainly use your money. But you know what? They can also use your time. And if you really want to make a change, sometimes your time and your involvement can be much more valuable than your money. But that's just what I think. Reaction to what Ron is saying about this ICE agent situation. They are, let's remind, you know, our listeners, they are not a constituency. So.
I think the problem I have with what the President Trump did, the execution and the rollout of the policy, when you kept leadership off guard, they didn't know about it, and you had this gag order basically from the White House. But the principle of what he is enacting, I don't have a problem, because I'm hearing all these people on TV act as though these wannabe immigrants are American citizens with all the rights thereof. I'm saying we as a country, as a sovereign nation, we can put any stipulation we want on whether you come to the country or not.
That may be the case, but I think the issue, like you just brought up, is the rollout. And I think one of the things we're beginning to hear as it relates to not only the rollout of this immigration ban, Muslim ban, travel ban, no ban, whatever you want to call it, is that
it's a ban.
It's not a business. The United States government is not a business. And there may be some things that you can do with Trump Tower or the golf courses, you know, with the stroke of a pen. But even in that case, you got to let your managers know, or else you could lose money. But when you're running the government, you could lose so much more. We're going to talk about this a little bit more on the other side. If you're on the phone, hang with us. Sharon from Maryland, Paul from Virginia, Renee from Northern Virginia, Lisa from Gaithersburg. Hey, Lisa, good to hear from you. We're going to talk to you as well. 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We are at the political roundtable, so stay with us. You will be able to hear the program. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Wes Hall is in for Jeff Brown with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. More of this conversation in just a few seconds.